Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Redemption Church. It's good to be with you today, and mixed emotions for me. We'll see how I do. I might turn into the crying pastor today, but that's okay. Go out with a cry. No, it's been a difficult week. Just trying to get ready for this Sunday, and now that it's here, I've been really. Really blessed just to be here, and Reed, your word was good, that this is a celebration, and I'm excited about being here with you and celebrating what God has done in this church and in my life during the time that I've had with you. So, yeah, thanks be to God that he's with me and he's giving me peace and excitement for today. So, happy to share this morning. Things are going to look a little different. I'm going to be preaching a little shorter than normal. I guess you could call this a sermonette. Glenn thought that was a hilarious term. A little sermonette. And then we want to have a bit of testimony time. So be thinking about sharing with the church, and I'll give you some more guidelines on that. And then we'll be having communion. And so it's going to be a full rest of the service, but a little bit of a shorter preach, but I'm excited about this passage that I'm preaching on today. So if you've been around this summer, we've been studying this kind of subject of faith, right, all through Hebrews 11, looking at some of the Old Testament characters that is listed in what is often referred to as the Hall of Faith. If you remember back, starting with Abraham, Steve, you kicked us off all that way back. And so now we've reached Hebrews 12, and this is going to be the last preach on this series of faith, and then we're going to be moving into something new in the following weeks. So let's stand, and if you have your Bibles, take them out, your phones, and we're going to just read a short little passage of Scripture today in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, and reflecting a little bit on this passage. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, you don't have to read it, sorry. I can. We can read it if you want. Let's read it. Why not? All right, let's start with verse 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. All right, have a seat, everyone. Thanks for that. That was good, actually. There's a lot of us language in that passage, so it makes sense to read that together. So last week, Kim ended his preach with a great, kind of full, robust definition of faith. And so I want to flash that on the screen again. There it is. And I want to read this again, because this is a really good definition of where we've kind of come to. So Kim said, faith is confidence that results in action carried out in a variety of situations by ordinary people in response to the unseen God and his promises, with various earthly outcomes, but always the ultimate outcome of God's commendation and reward. And so today I want to focus on one particular part of that definition, one particular part that jumps out to me, and that is the part that says ordinary people. Turn to your neighbor and tell them what the last movie was that you saw. So turn to your neighbor, what was the last movie that you saw? All right. I didn't ask you guys to give like a synopsis or anything. It's okay. Just the title. So I'm gonna throw this out there. I'm betting that for many of you, the last movie that you saw was a superhero movie. No? Maybe for some of the younger students, maybe? Superhero movie? It's obvious to see that right now superhero movies are kind of dominating movie culture and the movie market. And so what is it about these movies, these superhero movies, that attract us so much? I think there are many reasons why we love them, but one reason in particular really fascinates me. And that is that what attracts us to these movies, to these heroes, are not that they're perfect, that these people are perfect, but rather that they're flawed. You see, every hero has an internal vulnerability. They're vulnerable. There's a fault line that runs from top to bottom in their lives. For example, Bruce Wayne. Who's that? Batman. Okay. There's some people who like superhero movies here. So Batman, what happens with him? Well, he demonstrates a complete inability to maintain human relationships due to his passion for the Batman. And that jeopardizes any relationships that he tries to enter into. Peter Parker is riddled with self-doubt, which nearly cripples his social life by refusing to trust his loved ones with his secret. Tony Stark. Iron Man. So you guys know your comic book. Iron Man is volatile, self-obsessed, and doesn't often play nice with others. Their flaws and internal struggles make them seem human to us. It makes them relatable. We care what happens to them because we see ourselves in them. We see that we are flawed, that we're broken, and that we're troubled. You see, we like our heroes broken because we want them to be like us. We want to believe that messed up people, imperfect people, can still become great, can still become somebody. So if that's true of what we think of in these superhero movies, what about the heroes that are listed in Hebrews 11? What do we discover about these people? Do we discover that they're perfect people? Can we relate to them? When we think of the biblical characters, we often are tempted to think of them in terms of their highlight reels, all of the things that they did well. And so it's easy for us to get discouraged. I can't be like David, or I can't be like Moses, or Abraham. You know, often their experience of faith feels like it's from another planet. But a careful reading, and which I feel like we've done over the last summer, of these different characters reveals something quite different. It reveals to us a different picture. For example, Abraham tried to help God out by having a child with another woman who was not his wife. Sarah treated Hagar cruelly and struggled with serious doubt. Noah became drunk right after being delivered through a worldwide flood of devastation and destruction. Moses was impatient with the God who had just parted the Red Sea. Rahab was a prostitute. David committed adultery and murder after being promised an eternal destiny. You see, if we look at these heroes of the faith, we discover that they weren't perfect people. They were people like you and I. They all have checkered pasts. They all have these histories that are troubled, and yet they're commended by the author of Hebrews as people of faith. You see, many of us fear that these internal inadequacies disqualify us from becoming somebody, from achieving something. But the marvel of the gospel that we proclaim is that you and I don't have to hide our failures anymore. That we can come and that God can work with us and bring us to what Hebrews 12 refers to as that kind of perfection in faith through Jesus. So we can be encouraged and inspired and spurred on by these heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 because we can see ourselves in them. We can know that they've run the race before us and that they have been accepted by Jesus and that they've been seen as faithful people. But the question that I want us to spend a little bit of time reflecting on is that, is it enough to just look at these people of the past, these heroes of the faith, who have run before us? Is it enough for us to sustain us in our own journey of faith? What about the people, the heroes of faith that run with us right now? You see, we can talk about faith all day long, but ultimately we need to see faith through the lives of actual people that we rub shoulders with. We don't need a perfect example, right? We don't need that, but what we do need is a living example. We need a real-life person of faith in our lives. And if you're wondering where I'm getting this from, well, I'm not sure if you noticed, but if you look at Jesus' life, Jesus did much more than just talk about faith, didn't he? He actually lived life with his disciples. He said, of course, a lot of extraordinary things. He taught and he pointed people to these heroes of the faith in the past, but he also lived closely with his disciples in everyday life, rubbing shoulders with them and having these teachable moments. The disciples saw Jesus eat and sleep and perform miracles. They saw him interact with all kinds of different people. They saw him live. They saw him suffer. They saw him die. From the gospel stories of Jesus' life, you get the idea that seeing a person's life is at least as important as getting a list of lessons from that person. Yes, sermons are important, but seeing the actual life of the guy who delivers the sermon might even be more powerful. It's not just what you say that affects people. It's also how you live. And I want to give you an example of what this looks like. And what I'm talking about is this kind of discipleship relationship that Jesus asks us to enter into. And so I want to invite up a couple of guys, Emil, and I invite up Chris. Why don't you give them a hand as they come up? So you see, we hear about this kind of stuff all the time, but I thought it might be good just to get a visual of what I'm kind of trying to talk about. So here's Emil. And Emil is going to kind of play the role of a guy who's given his life to Jesus for the first time. He's responded to the grace of God, the call of Jesus, and he's given his life to God. And so we see that Emil has kind of turned towards the cross, right? And he's accepted Jesus, right? And we celebrate that, don't we, as a church? We love that. Yeah. And so often what we do in terms of what discipleship is this. So Emil, I think it's probably really important that you read the Bible. So if you can read that, that would be great. You know, spend some time in the Word. Here's another translation of the Message. That's awesome. You're probably going to have some questions about how to actually read this. And so here's a great book by Gordon Fee, How to Read the Bible for Its Worth. Just take a look through that when you got some time in between your studies and everything. You might have some questions about prayer. Can You Hear Me Now by Brad Jerzak is a classic, great book. Why don't you read that? Simply Christian, kind of walking through the different questions about the faith, another great read. Any kind of theology question, systematic theology, you can read that. That's got a bunch of stuff in it. J.I. Packer, Knowing God is a great book. Spiritual Gifts, Love Languages. Just take a look at that and, I think you're going to be okay, right? Now, often, isn't this how we often respond? We equate discipleship with information. Now, don't get me wrong. You're bashing books. Like, books are important. Yes, I agree. Books are very important. But I'm wondering, is information enough in terms of enduring the struggles of life that will come, that Scripture talks about? Will Emil be able to handle the struggles of life just by reading a bunch of stuff, about reading about some of the old heroes of the faith? Or is that going to be enough for him? That's the question I'm asking. And the reason I'm asking that is because it feels that in Jesus' life, he didn't do this. He didn't just give a bunch of books and a lot of knowledge to people. He actually lived life with people. He didn't send them on the way and say, hey, good luck in the faith. He said, come and follow me, right? So what happens is Emil, he's got these books, but the hardships of life start coming, and all of a sudden he's starting to turn away from the cross. You can put those down, yeah. And all of a sudden, he's experiencing this kind of doubt in his faith. Where is Jesus? Where is he in this thing that's happened in my life? I don't get it. And so he, even though Emil's given his heart to Jesus, he's isolated. He's got his books, but he's isolated, right? And so there's Emil, but then we've got a guy here named Chris, and Chris is a lover of Jesus and a guy who's lived life a little longer. Not too much longer, but a little bit longer. It's a few years. And he kind of has a better understanding of what it looks like to endure in the faith, to persevere in the faith. He's gone through some things, and he recognizes that he has something that he wants to pass on to someone else, that he has experience in life that could be really helpful for someone else. And so he comes to me and he says, Tyson, is there anyone that I could disciple, that I could come alongside? And I say, yeah, there is. There's this guy named Emil. I think you guys would be a great combination. And so here's Chris, and as he has his eyes on Jesus, right, he's looking to Jesus. He reaches out his hand and he puts his shoulder, his hand on Emil's shoulder. And there's this kind of relationship. And now all of a sudden, Emil, who is kind of on his own, is seeing Jesus through Chris's life, and they're both kind of coming to the cross. And I noticed that I didn't have these guys do this, right? Like that they were just like kind of, growing in their friendship. And although friendship's great and mentorship is great, but no, it's not that they're finding their identity in each other. Couples, this goes for us as well. We don't find each other, our identity in each other. We find our identity in Jesus as we look to him together, side by side, and we grow and we walk and we endure. Thanks, guys. You see, there's something about this that we need to catch a fresh glimpse of, that we actually need real-life heroes of faith in our lives. We need people to teach us how to live. In church, far too often do I have young men and women come to me and say, hey, Tyson, is there anyone who could walk with me in the faith? Is there anyone that you could partner up with me? Often when people ask me about discipleship trios, it's the younger folks that want it. And so I often get those requests, but far too little, do I have people coming to me like Chris saying, hey, is there anyone that I could sow into and spend some time with, any younger folks in the church? Far too often does that happen. And so I want to encourage you, I want to spur you on, church, to be thinking about how you can pass on the things that you've learned in your faith to the younger generation. In a few weeks, this church is going to be filled with students that are growing in their faith and are looking for those heroes of the faith to walk with them. Real life examples. And so would you consider that? Would you consider stepping out and saying, I'm not perfect, but I can be a living example of what faith looks like. I can walk with someone. I can endure with someone. Would you consider that as we go forward? And one last thing I want to touch on in this passage is the cloud of witnesses that's talked about in Hebrews 12. I was kind of wondering, what is it that these cloud of witnesses are kind of testifying about, right? So we're surrounded by them, but who are they looking to? What are they testifying about? Well, I think it's very obvious in this passage that even though these characters have exhibited this sense of faith in their lives, they're not meant to be the focus of the passage. Rather, their faithful endurance gives testimony not to themselves, but to Jesus. Their lives are meant to point us to Jesus, who is the real hero of the story, because he's the author and he's the perfecter of faith. He's the one that has done it. And we have these glimpses and these moments of faith, but Jesus has been fully true to the wishes of the Father. And so these witnesses witness not of themselves, but of what Jesus has done. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1 says this: "Be imitators of me, as I am in Christ." So Paul's basically saying, imitate me as much as I'm in Christ. Otherwise, don't imitate me. Because it's not me that you're meant to imitate. It's Jesus. So imitate me as I imitate him. See, we're not the focus of the story. It's Jesus who's the focus. The writer to the Hebrews asks us to make Jesus that fixed point, our goal and our hope, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And against this backdrop of all of these flawed characters, we see Jesus shining like a star in the night. You know, he just comes out of the story, and we look to him and we find our hope in him. We were singing that earlier today, that we fix our eyes on Jesus, right? That's what we have to do, and that's what this series and these witnesses in Hebrews are all meant to do. They're trying to point us to our need for him, that in Jesus our faith is made perfect. And so I want to close kind of this time with a time of kind of testimony and kind of some storytelling. You know, we've been talking about how we need real-life living examples of faith, and I'm believing that there's people here that we can identify as people who have come alongside us and have pointed us to Jesus. And so I want us to share some stories so that we can be built up and inspired and encouraged as the church. And so here's the question I want us to consider today, and we'll throw that on the screen. So the question is there someone or an individual, a couple, a family in your life, or perhaps even in this church that has been a hero of faith for you? How has their witness built your faith and pointed you towards Jesus? That's the question I want us to consider. And as you're considering that, and maybe there's some people that are already coming to mind that you'd like to just kind of get up here and honor and explain how they've helped you in your faith, I'm gonna go first. And I want to spend some time sharing with you my own heroes of faith list. Of folks in this church that I feel have come alongside me in this type of a discipleship relationship, and relationship has really helped me see Jesus and built my faith. And so I have a list of people here, and by no means is this list exhaustive. I feel like there's so many people here that have come alongside me. But these people in particular are ones that I feel have come alongside me in a very intentional way and have made space in their lives for me. And so I want to honor them today. The first couple I don't believe are here today, so I'll start with them. The first is Ian McLeod. So Ian's faithfulness and dedication to this church reminded me of Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. That's why Jesus came, and Ian reminds me of that. Ian was my right-hand man this last 3 years, and I can't imagine my role without him. And so I want to thank Ian for pointing me towards Jesus. And why don't we give him a hand? The next person as well is not here with us today, unfortunately, but that's Braden Tomke. Braden's steadiness, his joy, his love for Jesus deeply ministered to me every time I saw that guy. And so I want to thank Braden for pointing me towards Jesus as well. Next is Steve Colby. He was in the building. Steve, your commitment to walk alongside me, make space for me in your busy life, and to make me laugh when we got together, really reminded me of how Jesus walks with me and is my burden bearer. So thank you, Steve, for pointing me towards Jesus. Next on my list, way back in the room, is Dave and Megan Clark. Can you guys hear me? All right. Oh, there we are. So I had the pleasure of working with both Dave and Megan, Dave with UCM and Megan here at the church, and their friendship has helped me catch a glimpse of what deep spiritual friendship can look like, and that it's actually possible to love people so much that they become family. Dave and Meg model faith, they model joy, and they model perseverance. And so thank you both for pointing me towards Jesus. Next is Monica Cousins. Monica, her constant encouragement reminded me of how Jesus' love and approval is always for me, despite my deficiencies and my own failures. So without fail, every time I led worship or preached, sitting in my inbox was an email from Monica with an encouragement. So thank you, Monica, for pointing me towards Jesus. Next is Thomas Sands. Where's Thomas? There he is. Thomas, your love for creation, for people, and for God is inspiring. There's a meekness and gentleness about you that reminds me of Jesus. And I've also never heard you say one bad thing about anyone. So thank you, Thomas, for pointing me towards Jesus. And last but not least is Liesl Baker. Is she here? Oh, there she is. Liesl. Liesl's thoughtfulness, her pastoral heart, and ability to make space for people reminded me that Jesus cared for people more than any other thing. So thank you, Liesl, for pointing me to Jesus. All right, so that's my condensed Heroes of Faith list. But now I'd like to hear from you guys about some people that have pointed you toward Christ, have inspired you, and have helped you in your faith. So we're going to have just an open mic time for a little bit, and you're welcome to come up and share. So is there anyone that would like to start us off? Okay, yeah, come on up. Okay, why don't you share your name?
My name is Barbara.
Barbara, okay.
Yeah, and I've been coming to this church ever since West Broadway Hollywood Theater. Mm-hmm. That was a while back. And then I started coming here because they couldn't pay the lease, right?
Okay,
Didn't have the money for the lease, so I came here. It's only from here to my home is only about a 15-minute walk away, which is a lot better for me. I don't drive, and there's no buses up this way, so I used to walk to West Broadway, Hollywood Theater, go across the street, get an iced cappuccino from Tim Hortons, bring it back, and sip on that while I'm listening to Pastor Tim.
Yep.
And I don't know how long you've been working
3 years.
With this church.
3 years.
Just 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just a youngin'.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, I really want to say I think you're great.
Oh,
as
thank
a
you.
Pastor.
Thank you.
And
Barbara.
I enjoyed everything you said, and I've enjoyed the service so far with you.
Thank you.
And I'm really going to miss you.
Okay.
I think we all will. Do you agree?
Thank you.
And I've made friends here, quite a few friends.
Yeah.
And I don't see them outside the church, but
yeah.
I would like to join the social club.
Okay, the social club.
Yeah, I think it's Friday night or somewhere. I don't know.
Okay, we can talk about it. Yeah, that's.
I have been ill in the last couple of years, off and on, but I have a good GP, and she saved my life, and okay. I want to pray for her.
Okay, that's
her
great.
Name is Dr. Paisley Howard, and I came from North. Okay, I moved from North Vancouver to Vancouver. I've only been here 3.5 years, and it was pretty rough in the beginning. But now I've met so many people, nice people from all walks of life, and I help them out. Mm. If I have clothing or shoes or something like that, or purses or whatever, I donate. Mm-hmm. And because the way I am.
Yeah.
If I don't like something and it's in good condition, I donate it.
That's
and
great.
I was just telling. George? No, I'll call him George. Glenn.
Glenn, okay.
I don't know who I was telling, but I cleaned up my walk-in closet. And on the right-hand side, there's a big pile of stuff like that that I don't want, right?
Yeah.
All in good condition. And I put a sign on it that nobody would walk off with it. But I'm going to get a box from a landlord who lives in the basement, fill it all up, and I told him I want him to take it. He's got a van. Daughter has a truck.
That's great.
He's got a Harley Davidson.
She's got some great stories. I've heard them all this morning.
Thanks.
Anyway, I want
Barbara.
Just one more thing.
Okay, yeah, quick, because we're going to make some taste for other people.
And the stuff put in this, plus there's some stuff in the attic.
Okay.
It all goes to the woman's shelter.
That's great.
Oh, good
awesome.
Stuff. Thanks.
Thanks, Barbara. All right. All right. Thanks, Barbara, for kicking us off. We love you, Barbara. All right. Zoli.
As I was thinking about that question, two people came to mind. Part of my story is I spent 2 years in Africa. I was working with AirServe, flying there, doing relief and development work. And one of the people that I worked under was a guy by the name of Paul Lewis. And his wife, Jackie. They were missionaries in Brazil. And because Mozambique was Portuguese-speaking, and Paul and Jackie were fluent in Portuguese, we needed somebody to a liaison with the government and stuff like that. But working under Paul just made me realize that when I get to be his age, I want to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's one of those kind of people that you go, wow, that was amazing. And I went to visit them in Brazil years after. There's a real funny story that goes, well, I was visiting them, right? And then we'd be driving by. And then he'd point to a house and he says, oh, this person, you know, told me how they came to faith. And then he shares, you know, and they had no kids. We prayed for them, and now they got three. Didn't put it away, you know, just sort of put it on a mental peg. And then about a couple days later, we run into somebody on the street, you know, and Paul translates for me. And then after that, we walk away, and he tells me a little bit of their story. And then he said, oh, yeah, this is how they came to faith. And they were having problems having kids, and we prayed for them, and now they got two. And then about 3 or 4 days later, we run into somebody else. And then again, we have a good interchange. Brazilians are very friendly, very, very friendly, if you don't know. And then we walk away, and then he tells me this story about how they prayed for them. They were having problems having kids, and then now they got three or four, I can't remember. So I said, okay, Paul, wait a minute. What's this thing with you? And children. So he told me this story about when he was a young believer in Montana, how there was a woman in their church that they prayed. She was having problems having kids, and they prayed for her. And he was part of the prayer ministry there, and they prayed for her, and she got pregnant. And ever since then, that was just an area of faith where Paul just knew God answered prayer. And then many of you might not know that we used to meet in the Russian Community Center. And there was a couple that were attending Regent at the time. He was on the worship team, actually, a long time ago. Scott Kula, do you remember Scott? And Cindy. And I was on the prayer team one time, and Cindy had a speech impediment. And so Cindy came up for prayer, and it was kind of hard to understand what she was requiring prayer for, but she said she had a sore back. So I laid hands on her. I asked her if I could, and she says, yeah. And I prayed for her back. And then I asked, is there anything else? And then she said she was having trouble becoming pregnant. And I had just come back from Brazil. So I'm going, I smiled and I laughed, which I realized I shouldn't have at the time. You know? But I just said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to stick it out there just like Paul did. They have two kids.
That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, sir. Thank you. Oh, who's this coming up here? We didn't plan this, by the way.
I've got some.
Yeah, sure. Hey, everybody.
All right. In thinking about leaving, some families that have really stood out to me here are the Hetlers, who've modeled to me how you can interweave your family and your faith in church life and life on mission and just blend them all together. So seamlessly, and how having all that, you know, you don't have to sacrifice anything else. You can interweave them all together if you live with intention, and I've really appreciated that from you guys. You've always been sort of just one little step ahead of us, you know, in our journey as a couple, and we've always really looked up to you, and you've modeled life in Christ to us, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
And the Trotters, you guys have really modeled generosity to us, perseverance, and I think just the continual support over the years through, we've known you guys a long time now, and you've just always been there supporting us, so you've modeled that to us, and the Bolt family. Mm-hmm. I got to spend some precious time with the Bolt family many, many years ago when their children were a lot younger, and they opened up their home and their family life to me, and I got to catch a glimpse of that during a formative time in my Christian walk, and I really appreciated that. And you guys modeled just openness and transparency in your family life and in your marriage, and I still treasure that. It meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. So
that's great. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks. Is there maybe one more person who would like to share? Okay, yeah, come on up. Just want to introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hi, Maria. Most of you don't know me, but anyway. It's funny because you were talking about superheroes first, and then you said hero of faith, and the first person that stood out to me is my father, who's also the one that made me a huge superhero fan and made me grow up with, like, Superman, Batman. but anyway, my father is someone who is definitely a hero of faith. He grew up, went and got an MBA and everything. He wanted to work in, like, the stock market and, you know, be like a Wall Street kind of guy. And God was like, nope. And he took him in a completely different direction. And now my dad works in crime prevention in Central America, making sure that gangs doesn't continue spreading and stuff, and just kind of like also making sure the police just doesn't kill gang members and gives them a second chance. And God told him that was what he was going to be doing. And my dad has faithfully continued doing that for about 25 years. Mm. And even when governments have made him leave the country and stuff because they don't like his policies and stuff, he has continuously faithfully done what God has asked him, because God said, I will do this and I will take care of you while you do it. And he has really radically changed, like, 5 different countries and the youth and stuff in those countries, and given them homes and other places to turn towards instead of gangs. Mm-hmm. And he's my hero of faith.
Mm. So awesome. Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Well, thanks. Thanks for coming and sharing. And it's always good. I'm sure there's many more if we kind of created more space. But we're gonna keep going here. But thanks for those who shared.